Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Let me tell you, everybody wants to talk to Kevin Harlan. That's pretty much the way it goes around here. When we know he's in town, producers start fighting over who gets to book him. Guess who won the fight today? Up high, down hard, Kevin Harlan. Good to talk to you, man.
How are you, Damon? Good to be on with you. Great to be here. Kind of a rainy day in the Bay Area, but nonetheless fun to be here and a lot going on here.
Obviously, there is. You're in town for Warriors and Lakers on TNT tonight, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But we got to start with the big news that Chip Kelly is coming to town. Do you like the fit?
Yeah, I like his mind. Everyone has great respect for the way he thinks about the game and how he tries to evolve from what he's seen before him at both college and pro and where he's going. There's a lot out there that says, well, they've only hired him because he can work with Kaepernick. And I'm sure there's a degree of truth to that. But, I mean, you can't just hire a guy like Kelly with the price tag and just that title of head coach and have him work with one guy. You got to like what he conveys to the entire team, but in particular your offense, because that's his area of expertise. And the other thing that would probably surprise some people is that maybe he has given up some of the I've got to have all the authority claim that he wanted and had a lot of in Philadelphia, because Trent Baalke's not going anyplace, it would appear, and he's going to have to work hand in hand with the general manager. So if those are the parameters with which he was hired, which it seems as if he was, then I think it's a pretty progressive fit for the 49ers. This is a flagship franchise. It's one of the best in pro football, and they've got a lot going on, and I just think they thought this through very. When you're dealing with a guy like Mike Shanahan, who is the other name, and Tom Coughlin, if he indeed was, thought of seriously, and they settled on Chip Kelly, that shows they were pretty thorough with some of the biggest names that are out there right now. So you say it's a feather in the hat, and they move on.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's a bold hire. It's a big upside, maybe. Terrible decision a couple of years from now. We don't know. I'll tell you, though, sports gets interesting, Kevin. I feel like as a talk show host, like, forget Chino Hills. I'm the guy who hit the Powerball with this Chip Kelly hire here. And, because things – yeah.
There's a lot to talk about. And the Niners are always a topic. The Raiders being held at bay, so to speak, at least for a year to see what happens with their possible move or them staying and working out a deal in the Bay Area. But obviously the Chip Kelly hiring is big, big news. And that, I think, sends a resounding note that they're serious about getting a guy with the winning pedigree, which Kelly has, and they move forward and they try to work on some things that can make this franchise once again very, very proud, because they were, in the not too distant past, they were one of the best there was in the league, and I think they feel they can get there again.
Kevin Harlan here on 95.7 The Game. I like a second chance story, and I think the story with Kelly and Kaepernick, if indeed they're working together, either sinks like a stone or takes off like a rocket. I don't think there's any chance for a gray area in between where it's just, you look at it for a few years, kick the tires. I think we're going to know quickly, like, wow, this really works with the two of them, or uh-oh.
Maybe that's how Kelly sold him. Say, hey, listen, you've invested a lot of money in this quarterback. You don't go from being a Super Bowl quarterback and the talk of the league and some experts saying this could be the best quarterback that's playing in the modern era to a guy you just kick out the door. I just don't believe that, even with the injuries. I think it just has not been a good fit since Jim Harbaugh left for a variety of reasons, which you know all too well here. So you bring in Kelly, who thinks outside the box, who's incredibly progressive, sees a guy like Kaepernick, who's still a young, moldable quarterback, realizes maybe his best suit is not in the pocket. Maybe I can make him work outside on the run, utilize that ability. and get the rest of this offense going. Too many people respect what Kelly means offensively for him to be a failure in Philadelphia and not a success in San Francisco. I think you look on the bright side. I think you look on the optimistic side and say that, you know, he learned a lot in that tenure with the Eagles. There was a lot of front office maneuvering when he was there. But maybe he comes here and that's not an issue. Say, this is what it is. This is how we draft. This is how we get this is how we make trades and get guys off the street. We're going to proceed this way. And he says, you know what? I've learned my lesson, or I see the parameters. I'm comfortable working in them. Let's move forward and go from here. And I think he's going to attract a lot of interest in what he does.
When guys sit down to do an interview, they get into interview mode. I know that you sit down with a lot of head coaches. Outside of the moment when the light goes on, what's Chip Kelly like before he knows he's in interview mode? Do you think he's an easy-to-get along with kind of guy?
I think he's fine. I've never met with him face-to-face. We've not had an Eagle game since he's been there. And if we had one this year, now that I go back. But I had a conflict and I couldn't get in. And Rich Gannon, my partner, interviewed him on Friday and liked him. And I think people are fascinated with the way he sees the game. And I think that, you know, a lot of these coaches are so defensive with the media and have got a certain way of dealing with it, whether you're Belichick in New England or some of the others that just are not going to reveal a great deal about themselves, then, you know, that's the kind of moat they build around them. That's the fence that is there. And I think that maybe Kelly did a little bit of that out east, but that's a tough market now. That Philadelphia market is incredibly difficult for any coach, manager, whatever, to survive in. And he did, and I think they began to realize what he was about. I know that Sal Palantonio, who covers him for ESPN, always spoke very highly of him off camera and off mic. And Sal's a pretty good judge of character. And I guess I would have to go along with him and say that you're getting a guy who is probably not much different than he was at Oregon, has had his eyes open perhaps a little bit in the NFL, and is grateful for this chance, maybe as much as the Niners are grateful that a guy of his caliber was available.
I'll tell you why it didn't work out in Philadelphia for him, Kevin. He started publicly talking about smoothies. Out here, that plays well in the media. Back east, they don't want to hear smoothies, nutrition. They're anti-vegetable, anti-taking care of the body, the temple thing out there. Here, they'll eat it all up. Obviously, you're out here tonight for the big game between the Warriors and the Lakers. Will you be framing this team coming off of that terrible loss as a fraudulent contender or a real deal? A big loss at Denver. I don't know if I can believe in this team anymore. Oh, boy, Kevin.
You sound like you're right at the brink, and I feel sorry for you, Damon. Because if you decide to say adios right now, you're going to miss what I think is going to be one of the great individual regular seasons in pro basketball, and in all likelihood, another championship. I mean, they've got it all, and they've you know, I think it was Spates that said this last night. He said, you know, we're still learning how, you know, other guys on this team operate, move, and work. And I was thinking, now they've been together for a couple years here. They've gone through a lot of postseason, a lot of practices, a lot of together time, and they feel like they're still kind of learning the ins and outs of the team, which I guess is good in some way, and I was kind of surprised by that comment. But I guess it makes sense. When you take out a guy like Draymond Green, or you're playing without Curry for a couple games, or there's no Harrison Barnes, or whatever they go earlier on, Clay, and he's out, you know, you have to learn how to play a little bit differently. You get so used to the rhythm of what that other player projects on the floor. And that's, you know, that's pretty important stuff, especially guys as important as Green and Curry and Thompson. And so when Spates, you know, puts that in print and says that for everyone to hear, I think it shows that this is always an evolving story. There is never anything taken for granted. That the players themselves don't take for granted that someone's going to show up or someone's going to score. And that's the beauty of the team. I mean, it's not only the deepest team in pro basketball, and we know, like the other night, they had all the starters had a negative plus minus, and all the reserves had a plus, you know, a positive plus minus, which you rarely see. but that you know, it's constantly trying to push the other, trying to get better. And I think Chris Bosh said this the other night when Miami was in town. He said, it's one of the few teams I can recall that was a championship team, yet everyone the next year came back better.
Yeah.
How about that? And I thought that was a pretty telling comment from a guy who himself has been to four NBA championships and won two of them.
Obviously, a big part of the loss last night was Draymond Green being a healthy scratch. They're resting. And look, I understand the concept of rest, and I think Greg Popovich is a genius. I can understand something and still not like it, though. I don't like it when healthy players are rested. I just don't. I don't like it. And growing up, I don't remember the players that I watched taking nights off. Here's a time when you rest, when you're not scheduled having a game. That's when you rest.
Well, and I can appreciate that. And I think everyone can appreciate that. I don't think there's anything, you know, wrong with taking a guy like Green, who's playing 35 minutes a game, who has played every game, who's not sat out, who has not, you know, had a chance to really perhaps exhale because of the way the season has gone. There's been a component gone at some time or another. There's been no Barnes, or there's been no for a couple games Curry, or for a couple games, you know, Klay Thompson, and you know, everyone's had to kind of fill in. And when you've become one of the most important players on the team, and as someone said the other night, I know that Steph Curry is the MVP of the league, but the MVP of the Warriors may be Draymond Green. You know, I think that's a pretty important commodity. And it's not like he's playing on the perimeter all the time. He's in there, you know, getting roughed up, and he can play a physical brand, as we have seen. He's a unique player, and because of his individual rhythm and intensity and speed, other guys pick up on that. But that's a lot to put on a guy's shoulders, you know, too, is to have that kind of stress all the time. And in a long season, I guess I can understand it. We may not like it, but we can understand it. And he may not play tonight either. He may get another night off, and I could understand that, as much as I like watching him play with my own eyes, because he is a very unique, full-bodied, full-plate type of player. He gives you a little taste of everything: rebounding, defense, diving for balls, shooting outside, helping others. I mean, he fills every part of the stat sheet. And those players are rare, and yet those players exhilarate us the most. And so if they got to rest them, no one knows the players more than the coach. If they feel that way, I trust the staff, and he needs another breather. And he may not play tonight either.
And Kevin is in town because the Warriors are hosting the Lakers. It's Kobe's last game, and it's on TNT tonight. Kobe, he might miss this game. I hope he does play, if nothing else, for your telecast. I'm sure you've got a couple production meetings already here. How are you framing Kobe's last game in Oakland?
Well, like we did last week in Sacramento, he was terrific. Damon, I'm telling you, he showed at times in that game last week against the Kings, you know, that he looked like he was 27 and not 37. He was spinning on a dime, stopping on a dime, great torque, good lift, terrific shot, fadeaway, you know, the feel of what the defense was giving him, very engaged and focused. You know, he isn't taking these swan songs, these farewell arena appearances lightly. He would rather, I think, miss a home game early in the season so that he could play a game at Oracle or up in Sacramento on the road for the final time. I think he takes great pride in the fact that he wants to leave the game standing. But he's got a bad Achilles. He's got a sore shoulder. He's a physical mess right now. And so we may only get 10, 12 minutes of Kobe tonight. If he plays, I would not be surprised, because he really feels he owes it to the NBA and these visiting arenas that he's going to see for a final time to get out there and maybe give a shot or two that say, that's Kobe Bryant right there. And say thank you to the fans. He means it. He wants to be successful on the road, and he wants to play. But his body is falling apart. He knows it's time. Now, if he can just make it through the All-Star weekend and into the second half of the season and into April, then that'll be a wonderful bravo from him, and a terrific farewell and send-off that he'll give the NBA and all of its great fans.
Kevin, it's awfully tough for us to class up sports talk radio, but you make it happen every time you join us. Thank you very, very much, and enjoy your night over at Oracle.
You're a nice man. Always enjoy being on with you, Damon. Take care, and be optimistic on the Niners, and enjoy what you're watching right now at the Warriors. It doesn't happen often to see a team like that NBA squad across the bay play as well as they're playing and have that kind of talent and that kind of class as they're doing it, too. This is an organization which every single team in the league looks up to. It's a privilege to broadcast him. I'm sure as fans, it's a privilege to go watch him play.
He's the best. He's Kevin Harlan. Thanks a lot, Kevin.
Take care, Damon. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.